Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries, and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Another edition on What's Right, What's Left on this 14th day of May, that's right, 2025. And tonight, my exuberant and energetic young producer and co-host, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
And we have out there, like a rose between the thorns out there, she's known as the all-natural lady, none other than the herbal marm, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Oh, good evening, Pastor. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you back, young lady. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to get into it all, but we starting off with where we kind of left off. We did it. We had a good Mother's Day message, I thought, today, but this week. But we're going to pick it up where we left off in Hebrews chapter 11. That's the chapter of Heroes of the Faith. Heroes of the Faith. And we left off with Noah. And that's in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commanded the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what do you think he was talking about, things about not seen as yet, by faith, being warned of God of things he had not seen as yet? What was it that Noah hadn't seen yet?
Well, I think he was, you know, the salvation?
No. That was coming, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that would probably be, but God didn't warn him about salvation. He warned him about this flood that was coming. They'd never had a flood. In fact, Noah preached repentance for 120 years. And Noah was telling him, you better repent. You better repent and get saved because it's going to be a flood. Wait till it starts raining. They said, what? Wait till it starts raining. What's rain? They had never seen rain.
Yeah, they didn't know what that was, huh?
Yeah, and so they kind of thought Noah was a little bit goofy, huh? They thought he maybe wasn't all there. But Noah's faith in God was, even though he had never seen that, he worked. Well, you have to be faithful to work all that time to prepare that ark. That was a long time, a lot of work involved, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm. And so here, when he says there, moved with fear, prepared an ark for his house. So what do you think he was afraid of? Do you think he was afraid for his own life, or did he have other people to be concerned about?
Probably both of them.
Well, he had some sons there, and they had wives, didn't they?
Right.
So he had three sons and three wives, and they all had their wives. Then, of course, he had his own wife, right? And
yeah, he did.
They were standing by him, weren't they? And so, what kind of a? Let's ask Style. He's been around a long time. Style. What kind of a society do you think they were living in?
Not a great one.
No, it was pretty nasty back in those days. It was kind of they had their Democrats, didn't they? I mean. Godless people, just absolutely godless people, and violence, and so in that time, he was raising up his family, so it had to be that his family looked at him and trusted in him, and they believed what he had to say, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
So he goes on, well, and he says that... of his house, and in which was condemned in the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, his righteousness was imputed to him by the Lord for his faith, huh?
That's right.
And so, because God looks upon your heart, right? When we looked over in Malachi chapter 3, when he talks about the book of remembrance, he says that all of our actions are recorded and they're put in the book, but not just our actions, all of our thoughts that we have are recorded and put in a book. And so God knew what was on Noah's mind all the time, didn't he?
Right.
And then he goes on to say, here, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And so Abraham kind of was like Noah in that way, wasn't he? He just obeyed, and he didn't know what was up ahead of him, huh?
The Lord's word, it'd be okay.
And in those days, you had a lot of roving gangs or tribes and that. So they put his faith in God. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. So they were living in tents, weren't they?
Yeah, they were nomadic, I guess is the word.
Yeah. That could be a little rough. Like today on the way home, we came through some really hard, hard downpours. But the other day here, we had hail. I mean, it was really coming down. And I kind of thought there was going to be damage on my car and the paint job. I was concerned for a little while that the windows were going to break. It was hitting real hard. I think it was, you could feel just at that point any harder, and we'd have broken windows. But living, it would have been kind of tough living in tents in those days, huh?
I think it would have been. I mean, but they didn't have downpours like that, right?
Yeah, they had some weather in those days, yeah. This is in the days of Abraham and Sarah, not in the days of Noah. And so here now, he goes on to say, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What do you think he was talking about, that city? He was talking about the New Jerusalem. That's where we're going to dwell someday when we leave here.
Oh.
And he was looking ahead to New Jerusalem. And now, do you think he had the Old and the New Testament like we do?
No.
No, he didn't have all that, right? So he was going by just trusting in God's word. And here, you know, in fact, we have a lot that they didn't have. We get to the end of this, we'll see how you know, the Lord Jesus said, you know, blessed are those that see and believe, but those that haven't seen and just go strictly by faith, they're the real blessings, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so he said, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. They estimate that Sarah was about 70 years of age then. That might be a little tough, having a baby at that age.
I think she didn't laugh.
Pardon?
I said, didn't she laugh when she was told she was going to have a baby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was, and worse than laugh, she lied to God. And the Lord said to Sarah, why are you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh.
So yeah. She was like thinking it. She wasn't actually doing it outward.
Yeah, yeah. And she laughed to herself. Yeah, she laughed to herself. And the Lord said, yes, you did. You laughed. You're caught. Okay. Therefore, spring, well, he understood, because why? I mean, I'm sure Sarah didn't know any women that have ever had a baby at the age of 70. And so, therefore, spring there even of one in him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which was by the seashore, innumerable. In other words, at Abraham's age, it wasn't likely that he was going to get anybody pregnant, huh? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. So, what do you mean? Okay, so they hadn't received the promises. What promises have we received that they didn't receive? Well, the entire... go ahead.
Well, we have all the promises Jesus gave us and his blood on the cross.
Absolutely. We have the 66 books of the canon, don't we? Completed.
Yeah.
Canon of the perfect word of God. And for they say that such things declare plainly, and they seek a country. Well, that country that they seek is during the millennial kingdom, huh? And well, at this point, though, they were looking forward just to Israel. They were looking forward to the land of Israel. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they may have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, something better than Israel, right? That is, you know, for 1900 years, Israel remained totally desolate. And the Jews, what did the Jews do for that 1900 years? They talked about going back to Israel. They talked about going back to their country now. And so here, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and for he hath prepared for them a city. So again, that's New Jerusalem, and here... God is, you know, not ashamed to be called their God. That means what? That one-third of all of those of the seed of Abraham will receive eternal life, huh?
Yeah, that's going to be soon, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, boy, it sure looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, You know, like that song, Can't You Feel the Kingdom Coming? It just, there's something in the air, huh? By faith, well, Abraham. I mean, yeah, go ahead. I'm
I
sorry.
Think we've hit all those prophecies.
Yeah, they're going down one at a time, aren't they? Everything's happening. I mean, if you keep your eyes open, there's things happening. God is speaking to us daily, if you're listening. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Boy, there's a problem there, isn't it? There's a problem there, Wendy. His only begotten son, because, but there's one word in there, that explains that. Because, you see, he wasn't his only begotten son. Isaac wasn't his only begotten son. There was another fellow, wasn't there, named Ishmael?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't he a teenager by that time?
Yeah. Yeah, he was about 12 years old. Well, I guess that's close to being a teenager. Yeah. Now, here, let's read that verse again. And let's have Style explain it to us, because it's a tad bit complicated. Okay, all right, very good. You know what? Yeah, we're doing some phone line checking things. When this radio program comes on the air, things get interesting down there. You never know what's going to happen. You won't believe it, Wendy, but there's dark forces that don't like this radio program a whole lot. Okay. Anyhow, by faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise offered by his only begotten son. So now, here, Isaac was not really Abraham's only begotten son, for there was Ishmael, but he was counted. Now, here's the answer. You ready? Mm-hmm. He was counted by God as such, since Ishmael was begotten outside the promise of God. Why was that? There was something that happened that caused Ishmael to be begotten outside the promises of God.
Well, I mean, Abraham wasn't married to his mother.
Well, actually, he did take her. Yeah, he took her as a wife. She was But he took her as a wife. She was an inheritance, but it was outside the promise because of why did Abraham end up taking Hagar as a wife? Was it his idea?
They got impatient, I guess.
Pardon?
I think they got impatient.
Abraham didn't get impatient. He listened to Sarah. It was Sarah's idea. Why do you think she did that?
So you'd have an heir.
Right. It would be like, in that day, the custom of the East was, if you could not provide a man with a son, especially it was always idea to have the firstborn as a son, then that wife, it was thought to be, was not liked by God, okay? Was cursed by God. Remember Elizabeth and, and Zechariah, and yeah. She said, finally, she's going to be vindicated, right?
Right.
Because people thought, well, she must be a sinner or something, if God closed up her womb, right?
That's kind of hard to live with. You're kind of ostracized in a way.
Yeah, you are, but you see, in both the cases, both with Sarah and Elizabeth, they got vindicated because they were used for God's purposes. They were used for a much greater purpose, huh?
Yeah.
In other words, God showed them by closing up their womb until the time that he was ready, that it was that he had his hand on that birth, because, you know, women just didn't have babies when they were that old. And yeah. Not only that, but
they were past menopause. Yeah,
and not only that, but I mean, at that age too, you know, you got to like nurse the baby and all that too, huh?
Yeah, and when you're old, it's hard. I mean, it's hard even when you're not old. And so I can imagine how hard it was for them.
So what happened, the answer to that was that Ishmael wasn't of the promise because of Sarah and Abraham's unbelief, see? And Sarah was in her unbelief. She was too, she was in a hurry. And then that changed big time when she became pregnant. But then Abraham, he knew better because God had already told him. God had already told him that Sarah was going to have a baby, okay?
Now, did they send her away when Isaac was born with the boy? Didn't they?
You mean Hagar? Yeah, Sarah. Yeah, Sarah did. She took. She had to take Ishmael out, and she was going to be. That she thought he was going to die out in the wilderness, and the Lord showed up and said, "Don't worry about it. He's going to be a mighty man, and he's going to be an heir, and." But his hand is going to be like a wild jackass. His hand is going to be against every man, and every man's hand is going to be against him. And boy, was it. And you know, to this very day, the Arabs fight amongst themselves all the time. You got the Shia and the Sunni that are continuously at war. You got, Iran, which is Persia, and Saudi Arabia. Now, the Saudi Arabia, those were the direct descendants of Ishmael.
Really?
And, yeah. And they've been fighting ever since. I mean, they're now out there. Trump's over there trying to make peace, But those it doesn't last very long. And so This is why, Saudi Arabia and Iran are, I mean, they're arch enemies. They've been enemies for, it seems like, forever and ever. And so, anyhow, if you go back to that passage of Scripture, but I don't think we have time to do that tonight, when you go back in as Genesis chapter 18 and 19, when you get into, let me see. Wouldn't you know it? I hate that when the pages stick together. Okay. And here, Sarah's faith is tried. It's chapter 18. And there you're talking about, that's what happened at the Plains of Mamre when she was standing in the doorway and she was laughing when she heard the Lord telling her. Here's the verse. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and was well stricken in age and ceased to be with Sarah for the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure in the old and the Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' Then Sarah denied, saying, 'I laughed not,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'Nay, but thou didst laugh.'" So, boy, you women get away with a lot of stuff. She lied directly to God. And there you go. We're out of time. We'll be back right after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Family again, gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasures, preaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This world is not for. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see my mansion on high through glorified eyes. How happy I'll be. Blessed by you. Now, I don't even know what Miss Wendy's topic is tonight, but I know one thing. It's going to be a good one, because she always has a good topic. But let me ask you a question, Wendy. Here, you know, this thing with President Trump, what he did with the big pharma, it's like the good, the bad, and the ugly there, in the sense that, are you familiar with what I'm talking about? He is now made them give us the fair trade price that everybody else, that all the other countries have, on where it comes to pharmaceuticals. And so, in other words, they have claimed now that the reason that we pay so much, you know, here in America for these drugs is that that all the research and experimentation that goes into them, but they charge just America, just us in America has to pay for that, not the rest of the world. The rest of the world gets a discount, so we're paying like 10 times the amount for these things that the rest of the world does. So on this thing, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that would be the good effect, that they can't keep ripping us off like they have been, okay? The bad, that might increase the use of those drugs, and the ugly is the pharmaceutical companies to begin with. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a tactic you see in Asian continents, you know. They'll charge the affluent more money for the same thing they sell to people with less income. So they'll charge the rich person more for the same thing they're selling at a lower price to, let's say, the middle class or poor. So that's kind of what, you know, drug companies are doing.
Well, I mean, they're charging America way higher than all the rest of the
countries.
Oh,
I know. Yeah, it was exploitive. I know, definitely.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's unconscionable for me to even think about doing that, but, you know, greedy people. And I just wanted to mention something really horrible that North Carolina just recently did in the legislation here. They voted unanimously in the House and Senate on Farm S-639, where they pretty much give manufacturers of agricultural chemicals a pass. You know, so they're no liability, sort of like what we gave the drug companies with regard to vaccines. So now, and also people that have lactating animals, they had in this bill, you can't sell any milk from a lactating animal.
Jeez.
I know. So all these pesticides, so I guess they were worried about, you know, Bayer took on Roundup and they got sued. So now wheelbarrows of cash went somewhere in Raleigh to the legislator, and then they have voted this in. Creates a civil liability shield for all pesticide manufacturers and sellers, removing liability or to hold them accountable for injuries or property damage.
So what can you've got to do something about that? That is unbelievable.
Well, I just found out about it Monday, and they voted on it on the 6th. Nobody seemed known about it.
Well, they're hearing about it here from you tonight. Boy, I didn't.
It's terrible. So North Carolina is doing that. If anybody has an agricultural, you know, state is ready, they may do it there.
Well,
already.
When, you know, if those crooked politicians are making big bucks, believe me, the other crooked politicians in other states will find out about it.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I know. Money answereth all things. But I thought on the herbal area, I thought we'd talk about the longevity herbs. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I can use some of that longevity right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of research on these herbs. Six of them, in fact, have been getting a lot of attention. A lot of reports are calling them the anti-aging herbs. So they help the body to support essential functions, to extend cell activity, telomeres, and things like that, and supposedly extend your life. Anybody, you know, but lifestyle, our lifestyles can undermine that, so we have to make sure our lifestyle is in line. So healthier living is going to be required. Longevity doesn't mean all that much if we're not having a quality of life. You got the drug companies propping people's metabolisms up on these lifelong drugs, but the quality of life may not be there. You know what I'm saying? They just don't feel well. They don't have energy, and a lot of the side effects from the medication. So prescription drugs can do that, but, is it quality of life? So, you know, what's the goal? I don't know. I'm personally, Pastor, you know, if I didn't have quality of life, I wouldn't want to be put up on a bunch of drugs. I'd rather go home and see the Lord.
Well, you and me both, yeah.
Well, there is a formula for success. They have been marked, some of these herbs. They call them the elixir of life. But if we're not doing all that we can to protect the human body from premature aging, then, you know, all those efforts get, you know, neutralized. So here's some of the things that lifestyle, that we do in lifestyle that can rob us of an extra 10 years of life, and that is abusing alcohol and tobacco, using street drugs, unhealthy diets, a lot of, you know, processed foods and a lack of regular exercise. So even if we're taking a bunch of herbs that extend life, if we're doing any of those things, we're just negating it. So here's the six herbs. Ready? First up is dandelion root. So it's the roots tend to be harvested in the fall, so the flower is gone and all the nutrition goes back to the root, and lots of essential vitamins and minerals are now in the root, and these are building blocks of enzyme action in the body, so our body can't really survive long without its minerals. So dandelion has this rich history, and the first recorded written documentation of people using dandelion was in the Arabian physicians' writings. They used it as a medicinal remedy around the 10th century. The Greeks referred to it as a teratoxus chios, which translates into disorder remedy. So they used it for several things. The German E-Commission, also similar to our FDA, has tested dandelion root and has officially approved it for the use of digestive disorders and as an appetite loss aid and indigestion, the bile flow for liver, and so forth. So dandelion root does offer a diuretic effect. So if you're taking diuretics, it's not recommended you use it. And you can use dandelion root with many things, but not appetite suppressants, or because dandelion will stimulate appetite. So, and you don't want to use dandelion with your prescriptions or over-the-counter laxatives, because dandelion alone can be a mild laxative. And you don't want to use dandelion root with anti-inflammatory drugs, as dandelion offers anti-inflammatory action as well. So how does dandelion root help the liver to live longer? It's the most regenerative organ we have in the body. Well, it offers the benefit to remove a lot of toxins and help the liver, which protects us from being poisoned or being too toxic. So here's how the benefits work. It works to cleanse your liver. It purifies your blood. It helps regulate blood sugar or insulin flow for people with diabetes. It boosts kidney function and blood cleansing capability. It assists the pancreas. It assists your nervous system with vitamin B complex. It assists the immune system with zinc and assists digestion because of the extra fiber, and also helps your bones and muscles with calcium and natural vitamin D. So that's just one herb. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. You know, now, one thing about, you know, here you're talking about dandelions. Just today, I was out there pulling dandelions out, okay? I mean, I've never seen so many as we have this year, and my wife's got like a flower garden out there, you know, and dandelions are popping up where they're not supposed to be there. How they got in there, I got no idea, because it's an elevated type of garden, but they're there.
Well, you know, with the kids, you know, when we were little, in the spring, the dandelion bloom would come up, and it looks like a little puffy thing, white puffy thing. We'd pick them, and then we'd blow them, and all these little parachutes of dandelion seeds would go into the air.
Yeah.
That's how it got into your elevated garden right there.
There you go. Those things, but now you just can't, I mean, if I go out there, I mean, I've got acres of dandelions out there now. I could go out and probably get a truck load by just pulling them out of the ground.
Harvest them if you're going to harvest them in the fall, then the nutrition's back in the root. And dandelion roots can get quite large if you let them grow all season. So they can kind of get as large as a diameter of a pickle. But if they're small plants, then they're going to be more fragile-looking roots, maybe the diameter of a pencil. So they're light tan in color, and they're easy to set out and dry if you want to dry them. And then when they're dry, you can powder them into a powder, and then you can use them within 5 years. Powders last about 5 years, and you can make tinctures out of them. So dandelion's a beautiful golden color. And it's very mild tasting. If you ever taste a dandelion root, it's very mild.
So, I mean, how do you make a tincture out of it?
Oh, well, I write about that in my book, The Power Herbs. It's a download off our website for $14.99, but it's not hard. People just, you know, don't want to spend the time, and it can be a little messy. But if you're making a single herb formula, just get a wide mouth gallon jar. Okay. Now, if you can't get a gallon jar, you can use a small mayonnaise jar. You want a wide mouth. You don't want a narrow opening. And you would fill the jar. If you're using a mayonnaise jar, half full. If you're using a gallon size, probably two-thirds full of your herb. And then you would use a catalyst. So the catalyst that herbalists will use will be alcohol similar to 80-proof vodka or vinegar. And some people use glycerin, but glycerin will not capture all the alcohol from the plant. So it's not going to be as a complete or potent formula if you use a glycerin. So 80-proof vodka is going to be fine. We use the equivalent of cane sugar, organic cane sugar here. We don't use any of the grains because a lot of people are sensitive to grain. So then you just pour it over your herb, you know, and cover your herb with the alcohol. Stir, of course, stir. And then put the lid on and put a sticker on there, what it is. And you want to count out 4 weeks for the press date. And then you just kind of put it in a cabinet away from heat and light. Or if you can't store it in a cabinet, throw a dish towel over it because herbs are light sensitive.
Sounds like a whole lot of work to me. Let me ask you this. Out here, you see, now, I would imagine, well, I know, because I bought some of that dandelion brewed tincture from you. I got to go up and check it and see if I still have any left, because I use that, you know, basically I kept it for cancer, because I know that.
Well, that was because I think it was 2012, Windsor Medical University at Quebec, was the work of Dr. Cimmerian Pandey. He did the research. He's a biochemist, but at the request of Dr. Carolyn Hamm, they just happened to notice the cancer patients did better on Tuesdays, and the only thing that was different was they gave them dandelion root tea to drink, so that's why they investigated dandelion, and they happened to test it against healthy human cells and then cancer cells, and healthy cells ignore it, but cancer cells suck up dandelion, and then it kills the dandelion. So they're trying to figure out what compound chemical in dandelion root is killing cancer so they can make a drug from it.
Yeah, if I was to go out here, because, you know, I have these gardens, and they're elevated gardens out here, and sometimes I use these watering tubs, that, you know, they're tubs that used to water for cattle. And they're
trough, kind of like a trough.
Yeah, they're perfect, okay, because they keep the garden up at arm's length reach where you go to harvest the tomatoes and things like that. You don't have to bend down or anything. It's really nice. But if I was to go and get a couple of those and plant dandelions in them, and my neighbors were to come and see me raising dandelions, they would think I've lost my mind out here.
Yeah, well, dandelion grows in pretty much all zones. The only place you won't find it is the poles, the tick pole, you know, where it's really super cold and frigid. So it grows everywhere all over the globe, though.
Yeah, but when you make it into a tincture, it's not cheap. It's expensive, and so
well,
that's a lot.
Well, if you're using organic alcohol like we do, yes, a lot of the grain alcohols just have a lot of chemicals on them. And stuff, you know, the pesticides and things and herbicides and whatever. So we always go organic, and organic alcohol probably three times more expensive. So it's one of the reasons our formulations cost a little more than what you see in stores is because we are certified organic.
You're pure, so. Yeah.
Yeah, and we cold press, which a lot of companies don't. So if you see, you know, dropper bottles of tinctures in the store for less money, they're using a forced extraction method, which creates heat, and herbs are heat sensitive, so you get a very low potency product in the end, basically. Mm. But let's go to the next herb is your Siberian ginseng. Now, this is known as a panax root, has very long history, being known as a panacea. Ginseng magnifies the power of other herbs. Often it is paired with your immune support herbs for more power, so it has a synergistic action. I like to use ginseng with your cayennes and ginger roots. It helps combat stress and improve circulation. Ginseng is often also used to help power up people, help them with if they have low blood pressure and low blood sugar. Sometimes people will add the ginseng. So American and Siberian ginseng root, very good quality. They have many jejunicides. The American ginseng often is slightly more expensive because it's often over-harvested. But it has a little bit more benefit for the liver function, whereas your Siberian for the cardio area. Also, if you have a cardio issue, it's not recommended to use a ginseng because it is a cardio stimulant. So you want to be careful there. Cayenne was also on the list. Really hot cayennes like jalapenos and habaneros. They actually offer the body a lift from fatigue, and it helps with circulation. It's excellent. It's an excellent transport vehicle for other herbs as well, since it goes around the body very quickly. It transports the other herbs that it's paired with. So it helps with cholesterol, assists thyroid function, and it reduces stress and fatigue on the body. If it's hard for you to take a really hot, high Scoville heat unit pepper, some people kind of dump it in some tomato juice or citrus juice because the enzymes in those beverages cool the hot taste in the mouth. But if it's still a struggle, some people have some sensitive palates, then you can always put your dose, your liquid dose, in a veggie cap, empty veggie cap, and make your own gel cap. So that way you don't taste it at all.
Well, I use four of your different tinctures together, and I do that with a glass of V8 juice. It's a
there you go. That's okay. Which,
yeah, it's like 8 ounces of V8 juice, and I put all four of them in there together.
Yeah. So
and,
that cools the hot taste a little bit, but it zings up the V8 somewhat. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Garlic's on the list. It's a universal herb, very broad spectrum in applications. Science has done hundreds of studies on garlic. They're trying to uncover the compounds in garlic that help fight viruses, bacteria, yeast, and fungus. It's very broad spectrum that way. But garlic is very complex in its structure, and science hasn't been able to unlock that code yet. So it's a natural blood thinner, and it should not be used with other prescription blood thinners. So if you're taking prescription thinners, don't use medicinal amounts of garlic. Some of the other benefits, it helps regulate blood pressure, regulates cholesterol, and it's a natural parasite inhibitor because of the sulfur in it. So parasites don't like sulfur. So echinacea root's the next herb here, and you've heard about echinacea for helping with immune system and shortens the duration of illness. And some reports also say that it's excellent for reducing the effects of aging. Other benefits are it helps with skin disorders like acne, boils, abscesses. It's beneficial for pulmonary conditions like pneumonia. It assists with immune system to help with the blood cells, the killer T cells, and your antibodies, so it helps the immune system run more efficiently. Burdock root is the last one.
Let me go back to echinacea for him, because I was told that that echinacea, you don't want to use that for long periods of time. Is there any truth to that?
You are correct, yes, because it does a lovely job of stimulating your immune system, assisting it in manufacturing the antibodies, which are your white blood cells. And antibodies that are white blood cells, they last one day. Okay, so your body's always making them, or your blood system is. So if you take every day like a multivitamin, it's not going to stimulate the white blood cells as well. So you want to use echinacea for when you're under the weather, when you're sick, and stop using it when you're well. So kind of keep that as your ace in the hole to help you get over illnesses quickly. And that's what it's known for. Now, the last one is burdock root. It's known as a cleansing herb, often found in a lot of herb formulas to cleanse your blood system. It helps remove a lot of waste material and toxins out of the blood. Herbalists often will use burdock root with things like venomous bites to negate other poisons. The benefits are it helps shorten recovery after illness like the flu. It helps to purify your gallbladder and often paired with barberry bark. and it helps to cleanse the liver and often paired with your milk thistle. So it's, think of it as a cleansing type of herbs to remove toxins. So these herbs, these six herbs alone can do wonders for the human body. If you pair them together, different uses, herbs can help with regenerative effects. Kind of astonishing, really, to scientists when they look at it. So we have a, provided, you know, we, the Creator has provided us with a treasure trove. Now, in the United States, there's like 2,000 indigenous herbs just in America. So in each country has their own indigenous varieties. So you've heard about Chinese herbs. Now, there's a whole bunch of different varieties there. So I think per region and per culture and DNA, I think those are paired well. So I tend to rely on the indigenous American herbs. I don't use any imported.
I hear a lot about mushrooms, certain mushrooms that are like right. Superfruits. Okay, and what do you what do you know about these? Like, there's something called ashwagandha.
I know some people will use the mushrooms. I'm not a big fan of mushrooms. Basically, it's a fungi, and I think you would want, if you're going to use them, have a trained professional help you with that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I like stuffed mushrooms. They're good.
I mean, people like them on their pizza and their spaghetti sauce. Those are your culinary. Those are grown for a food source, not a medicinal source. So there's different varieties of mushrooms, and do be careful.
All righty, Al. We're going to come up. There's a good story about mushrooms. It's a true story that happened some years ago. I'll have to tell you about that sometime. I'll tell you real quick because I got just about enough time to do it before we get to the break. But you need to stay over and take some calls for a while because people always want to talk to you. Some years ago, we had our pastor's breakfast. We used to have about 20 pastors, sometimes 25 come home. In the summertime, I had a big garden. I mean, I had my big, the green peppers, my hot peppers, the onions, tomatoes, everything come out of the garden. So we made omelets, and we had all that. And Pastor Len says, all of that, I kept all that here that came out of your garden. And I said, yeah, well, one of the things we had was mushrooms. I thought I'd have me a little fun. And so we're eating it. And he said, what about the mushrooms? I said, well, I went out and picked those. I never did it before. It was my first time. And all of a sudden, everybody's looking at each other like, is it for real? And then they saw that I was laughing. But that's something you got to be careful of. My father-in-law knew how to pick them. He knew how to find them. But you pick the wrong mushroom, it can wreck your weekend, huh?
Well,
we're coming up to a break. When we come back after the break, you want to stick with us, take a few calls for a while?
I can for a little bit, but if anybody would like one of our free catalogs, because all six herbs we just talked about we have in liquid form. We specialize in liquids and powders. Anyway, they can call us at 866-229-3663, and the catalog is free. 866-229-3663. But if you have some Canadian listeners, dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. They can also download the catalog on our website at The Power Herbs.
All right. You got it in just under the limit. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.